In 2018, my wife and I were visiting the beautiful city of Lisbon, Portugal. And one evening, we were trying to find this highly rated African restaurant that we found on Google that was supposedly in a very old neighborhood. And on our way, following the map on our phone, we suddenly ended up in a very sketchy part of town. As two tourists, we would be easy targets for any bad actors in this neighborhood. But thankfully, we found this one tourist shop to plan our next move. So we decided that I would go alone into this neighborhood to see if this restaurant even existed. So I walked alone in this neighborhood to find the restaurant, and when I got to the supposed location, what looked like a restaurant turned out to be a place where people were smoking illegal substances, and what looked like a waiter approached me and asked me in Portuguese, essentially, if I would like some of these illegal substances. Sensing the danger, I immediately told him with my limited language skills, I said, no, I don't need such substances, found a street to escape into, and returned safely to my wife. My wife and I were able to get our bearings and leave that neighborhood. Perhaps you too have a story where you were on a journey and you were confronted with danger or some persistent annoyance, and by God's grace, you were led out of danger. Well, in today's scripture, we have someone else who is also headed on a journey. He's headed to Jerusalem, the temple of the living God. That's where he's going to worship. He's making a pilgrim journey to Jerusalem to worship the living God, but also his journey faces danger along the way. So in the face of danger, how does our traveler respond? If you would please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 121. If you're using the Pew Bible this morning, the text is on page 543. A quick background on the book of Psalms. This is the hymn book of the nation of Israel. It contains a collection of songs that worship the Lord through a variety of genres. Songs of praise, songs of remembrance, songs for the royalty, songs of lament, and songs of penitence. Our scripture today, Psalm 121, is in the beginning of a collection of psalms labeled as a song of ascent. The songs of ascent are essentially pilgrim psalms that Old Testament worshipers sang on their way to Jerusalem to worship God. The themes of the songs of ascent include recalling difficult times and circumstances, recalling God's power to keep the traveling party, peace and security in Zion, and the theme of arrival. Psalm 121 is a song of the physical journey. However, our psalmist faces danger along the way to his destination. On the next leg of his journey, he faces uncertainty. In the face of uncertainty, even danger, who will be his source and aid? Since the psalm is very brief, I would like to read the entire passage out loud. So please follow me in your Bible, Psalm 121. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. This is God's word. Several times we hear the word protect or keep throughout. The opening lyrics of verses 1 and 2, we have the question and answer of who is our help? In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist declares that he entrusts himself in God's identity as protector. In verses 5 and 6, the psalmist talks about God's ability to protect him right now and God's nearness to him along the entirety of the journey. And finally, in verses 7 and 8, the traveler recalls God's promise to protect him all the way to his final destination. As we travel through this psalm together, just as you have perhaps faced dangers in your physical journeys before, I want to ask everyone in this room today, in whom are you relying on as your help for the journey of life? Perhaps for some of you today, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're facing some burden, some upcoming trial, and you're just standing, staring at the mountains, wondering, well, where will your help come from? For some of you, your journey is filled with faltering steps. You're having a hard time seeing the destination ahead. I hope today's sermon will encourage you to be reminded about who God is in the midst of your journey as protector and keeper of your life, and his promise to be near you, his willingness to safeguard you. Brothers and sisters, may you be refreshed by hearing about who is your true help in this life. And for my unbelieving friends in the room, so glad you're here. And as you hear these words today, I want to ask you this. Who do you rely on for your help and for your protection in this life? And so, before we get any deeper into the psalm, I would like to summarize the theme of Psalm 121 for my note takers in the room. It goes like this. The Lord is our help and protector. Therefore, let us trust in him to protect us in our journey all the way to the destination. I'm going to repeat that. The Lord is our help and protector. Therefore, let us trust in him to protect us in our journey all the way to our destination. Now, I want to break down this sermon into four brief points today. Number one is going to be our help comes from the Lord, verses 1 and 2. Point 2, God is our protector, verses 3 and 4. Point 3, God protects you and me day and night, verses 5 and 6. And promise for future preservation, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is our helper and protector. Therefore, let us trust in him to protect us in our journey all the way to our destination. Point 1, our help comes from the Lord. Please look at verse 1. The psalmist begins with the first pairing of lyrics with a statement and a question. He lifts his eyes towards the mountains and asks, where does my help come from? Our first image is of the mountains. Perhaps some of your Bibles use the term hills. The pilgrim here is facing some form of danger, some kind of uncertainty on the next leg of the journey. We're not exactly sure what lies in wait. Perhaps the sheer exhaustion of passing through these hills or mountains, or perhaps lying in wait in the mountain are lairs of marauding robbers. Before he proceeds into the mountains, he asks the question, where does my help come from? And in a catechism-like manner, he answers the question, where does my help come from? Immediately in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. He immediately recalls that God is the source and help for his journey. But why is the psalmist so confident that his help comes from God? Verse 2 tells us why. For he is the maker of heaven and earth. He invokes the Lord's title, maker of heaven and earth. And despite the mountains looming in front of him, the psalmist remembers his God, who is creator of these same mountains that he's about to walk through. The same God who made these mountains knows what is going on in every nook and cranny. Recalling that the Lord God as creator is a truth that leads the psalmist to rely on him and not himself. Elsewhere in Psalm 104, the psalmist in this psalm praises God as creator, the one who, in verse 3, established the earth on its foundations. It will never be shaken. Verse 10, he causes the springs to gush into the valleys. Verse 14, he causes grass to grow for the livestock and provides crops for man to cultivate. For God directs and sustains all creation. So in response to this knowledge in Psalm 104 of God as creator, the psalmist promises to sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing to God while I live. Verse 33. The psalmist's telling of God's creative acts causes him to praise and look upon on that which is most worthy, God himself. And similarly, in Psalm 121, the psalmist's knowledge of God as maker of heaven and earth causes him to remember that his help comes from the Lord, to trust in him, to rely in him, because he is the one, like I said earlier, who directs and sustains all of creation. The Lord knows everything within his realm, for it's his world. So the psalmist wants us to know, to remember that whatever is looming before us, that the same God who created the heavens and the earth, even the mountains ahead of us, we are to lift our eyes above the mountains and look to the Lord and not to ourselves for our help to get us to the destination. As we read early in the New City Catechism this morning, what is God? God is creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. He is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in his power and perfection, goodness and glory, wisdom, justice, and truth. Nothing happens except through him and by his will. The knowledge of God as creator is the root of this traveler's security and help on the way to Zion. We praise the Lord because God is our creator, but he does not simply just create and just sits there and leaves us. He is the God who makes himself available to us for help. So the question to where does my help come from? The answer is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now to our second point, God is our protector. Verses 3 and 4, God is our protector. Not only our help comes from the Lord, but he is also our protector. Verse 3 says, he will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. The first phrase here, he will not allow your foot to slip. In other words, God's care here for the psalmist is very specific. God will care for the traveler through the physical aspects of the journey to Jerusalem. Psalm 66, 8 through 9 has a similar language, describing God's care for his people when it says, bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He keeps us alive and does not allow our feet to slip. God's watchful eye is on the pilgrim. God knows the traveler's every little step on the way to Jerusalem. The psalmist moves to why God will not let his foot to slip. He recalls the Lord as protector. He who keeps you, literally in Hebrew, literally one who keeps, guards, watches, and attends to carefully. To the psalmist, God is the guide who watches him in every step, his every little move. God safeguards him, ready to help. For God never sleeps. For look again, what it says in verse 3, your protector will not slumber. Even along the way, the pilgrim here may take breaks. He may sit down and rest. His body and mind are limited by the grind of the journey. But God is described here as someone who will not allow his foot, your foot, to slip. And he does not sleep on watch. The psalmist shows us here that we are limited, finite, exposed to danger. We have limited energy for this journey. But our God never tires, never slumbers. To build on that even more, verse 4's lyrics start to build on verse 3's, essentially repeating the same ideas of God's character and its implications, but with a different emphasis. Verse 4 says, indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. There's this repetition, and it helps us to see the scope of God's protection extends to the entire nation of Israel. God stands watch, safeguards the nation, and he does not slumber or sleep as he keeps watch over the nation. Now, why is this important? The psalmist here may be having in mind Deuteronomy 33:9. How happy are you, Israel? Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is the shield that protects you, the sword you boast in. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread on their backs. So God's current safeguarding role of Israel ties back to God's redemptive act in history, particularly the Exodus, the rescuing of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and God's new role to protect her from her enemies. He is the shield that protects you. The God who protects and cares for the pilgrim is entrenched in God's historical redemption and protection of the nation of Israel. In other words, God's redemptive act in the history of Israel now brings that entire nation under his protection. And now that protection encloses around the traveler who has to make these steps through the passes of the mountains. And brothers and sisters, today, in light of the gospel, we should marvel at God's redemptive act in history towards us. We are saved through Jesus Christ from sin and death. And through Christ, we are brought into the fold of his protective care along our journey. And in Christ Jesus, our God does not slumber or sleep as he protects us, his watchful, loving eye on you and me. He will not allow your foot to slip. In other words, God's protective care for you and me, brother and sister, is permanent, does not change. It's not subject to change. And speaking of redemption, I want to pause here real briefly. I want to speak to my unbelieving friends in the room today. And like I said, I'm so glad you're here today. But I want to say that in light of this song, I want to say that you also are on a journey to meet God. For he is our source of life, and all life comes from him. But I want to ask you, who is your help and protector in this life? Perhaps for some of you in this room who is not a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're seeking God, but have not fully trusted him. Perhaps some of you here, you claim that God is your help, that he's your protector. You tell everyone that you know that you believe these things, but your life demonstrates trust in something else. But your life's answer to, where does my help come from, is yourself or something else to get you through this life. The Bible calls this self-reliance, apart from God, against his holy character, sin. Sin is trusting in self in the midst of the journey instead of God. It's self-reliance that ends in destruction. It is rebellion against God by living your own way and rejecting him. In fact, in the Gospel of John 3:36, Jesus Christ makes clear to you that whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Friend, if you know your life is outside this protective care and help, then your life is under his judgment. And you will meet the Lord someday on the last day of your journey. Your sin separates you from God, and instead of entering Jerusalem, you'll be put outside the fellowship of God forever. Our sins deserve this just judgment. However, I have some good news. If you feel the weight of your sin, if you know your journey to meet God is one of rebellion and outside his protection, and you know this in your heart, know today that God graciously offers you salvation. Someone has to pay for our sins, your sins. It's either you or someone else. So God offers the one who entered this world as a man, who took on flesh just like me and you, and he too made a special journey to Jerusalem. But rather than going to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices and worship God, friends, his journey was unique. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, it is written that the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem to be delivered over to condemnation, and he will be mocked, spat on, flogged, and they will kill him. In other words, this Son of Man went to Jerusalem not to give sacrifices, but he made a journey to Jerusalem to be the sacrifice for our sin. And who is the Son of Man? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted God, the maker of heaven and earth, his protector, and lived the perfect life and obeyed God perfectly on our behalf, who took on our sin and gave himself up unto God as the perfect sacrifice to pay our sin debt. At the cross in Jerusalem, Jesus absorbed the judgment of God for our sin, fully paying for what our sins deserve. At the cross in Jerusalem, God's love for you and me was made supreme in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And how do we know that Christ's sacrifice was acceptable to God? Again, in Mark 10, it says, after 3 days, he will rise. And God kept his promise, raising Christ from the dead, showing me and you that his just judgment against sin was fully paid. So friend, based on this sacrifice and atoning death alone, he is willing to forgive you today. Friend, you could be fully forgiven, you could be washed clean, and you can be reconciled to God. All he requires of you is to repent, which is not cleaning yourself up with good works and then try to be a good person. No. Repentance is turning from your sin, taking God's side against it, and going and following him. In Christ Jesus, you may go and meet the Lord with his protective cover on you, and he offers that to you today, trusting Jesus Christ. So let's continue. So I ask again, where does our help come from? We know our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We know God is our protector, who does not slumber or sleep. And now we move on to point 3 in our meditation of the psalm. God protects you and me day and night. God protects you and me day and night. Verses 5 and 6. So establishing the fact that God is the protector of Israel, and therefore his own protector through this journey, the psalmist cites another pair of lyrics of how the Lord protects him. First, verse 5 begins with a note of reassurance that the Lord protects you. But also in verse 5, he specifies this protection by saying that the Lord is a shelter right by your side, or a shelter by your right hand. The psalmist moves into God's protection lyrically in 2 unique images. One is the image of a shelter, which will have implications in verse 6. But the psalmist is establishing the fact that God is like a protective cover for the traveler, and the term right by your side is used to emphasize that God is literally, quote, in attendance. The image of a servant at the right-hand side of his master, as in battle, with protective weapons ready. In other words, God is not only in control in heaven above, but he's right by the pilgrim's side. So in the midst of great dangers in the road ahead, the psalmist cites God's ability to give protection, and he's ready to serve and protect. In other words, God provides a safe place for the dangers ahead. Psalm 91:1 uses shelter language to show that you and I, brother and sister, have a source of safety in the midst of danger, which says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And as for being at your right hand, another psalm makes use of this term in Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In other words, God's protection is not only watchful of you and me, he is right near you and me. This psalm helps us know that the Lord is with you. He's right by your side. He is at the ready to provide safety in the midst of the journey. And then we move into verse 6, which contains 2 more images that come from creation that present real danger to the traveler, the sun and the moon. As the psalmist alluded in verse 1, as the mountains are the final barrier for getting to this destination, and also we discover that there's a possible danger of the traveler's foot slipping along the way. Here in verse 6, more physical hazards abound. The sun, with its intensity and heat, may present the real danger of sunstroke and heat exhaustion. Then you have the moon, which one helpful commentator helped me out on this one. How can a moon smite a person? It is probably a reference either to an ancient notion that the moon causes mental disease, or to a persistent human association of the moon with mental disorders, unquote. Whatever the case may be, we know this, that our God promises his round-the-clock protection for the pilgrim, from you and me, by day and by night. God keeps watch over you at all times of the day, and he's readily available to provide shelter for you at all times. And with these assurances, finally, we move into the final movement of the psalm, which ends with a promise. Point four, promise for future preservation. Promise for future preservation. Verses 7 and 8. We take hope in God's help, his protection over us that covers both his people and for those in Christ, you and me. And we take courage in God's nearness to us, his care for us throughout the journey. But now, notice the shift as we conclude the psalm. It goes towards a future promise. The psalmist proclaims in verse 7 that the Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. Another version renders verse 7 as the Lord keeping you from all evil. As the psalmist proceeds through the mountains, he now declares that God will protect his entire life. As the Lord protects the pilgrim through the roughest part of the physical journey, the Lord's protection extends further than just getting from point A to point B. The psalm turns from one of the physical journey to a psalm about life itself, a life traveling before the Lord to the destination. The traits of God in the midst of the psalmist's journey, his protective care, his constant attendance and nearness, our help that will always be available, now extends to all of life. God's protection from all harm and your life tells us that God will protect us in the sojourn of our lives, brothers and sisters, the protection of our souls, all the way to the end. So, does that mean for the psalmist, for you and me, this is going to be a trouble-free life? Verse 8 will help us answer that question. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. God's watchfulness and protection to the pilgrim is not a promise of a trouble-free life. It's God's promise to preserve his life, and if you are in Christ today, our lives eternally. Verse 1 tells us that we will face and pass through the mountains. We will face trials and tribulations in this life. But today, if you are in Christ Jesus, I want to assure that you are under his care. You too can take heart because he promises that he will preserve your life, your soul, both now and forever. And finally, take note when the psalmist says that God will protect your coming and going. A commentator was helpful to me to understand this, that this phrase, coming and going, is describing every possible movement and the journey. God is watchful over you. He knows that you and me are walking through whatever we're walking through or whatever you're about to walk through. And he's going to see you through it. He is our hope in life and death and into eternity. And for those in Christ, even in eternity, God's protective care will be forever on you and me as we arrive at the destination, the New Jerusalem, Zion, the city of our God, where Jesus awaits, and his blood is protective care for us. His sacrifice will protect us forever. This is the psalmist's confidence. This is our confidence, both right now as he faces the journey, as we face the journey, as we travel on this sod to Jerusalem, and even forever. God is able to preserve us forever. And so, as we finish meditating on this psalm, I want to meditate further on what this means for us as believers today in our present lives. My brothers and sisters, as you lift your eyes towards the mountains and ask the question, where does my help come from? Today, how would you answer that question? this past week, where does your help come from? This past year, where does your help come from? These past few years, where does your help come from? My help comes from fill in the blank. As our minds and hearts reflect on these glorious truths today, I want to ask you, does your life demonstrate that the Lord is your source of help? Or does it come from other sources? My eyes look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Perhaps your heart today has been thinking that your journey is too hard for God to care. Your present trial is too hard for him to understand. So my help comes from, quote, myself. I alone can travel and bear this burden. Brother and sister, if this is making you weary, seek Christ today. Seek Christ today. He is your help and protection. Perhaps you're facing a load of stress from work, from a project, from a family situation. From where does my help come from? Perhaps your answer is, my help comes from entertainment. My help comes from my smartphone or other pleasures to distract me away from my troubles. I implore you to turn to Christ and seek help from him who knows your stresses, who knows your cares, who knows your worries, and he knows your sorrows. Perhaps today your journey is filled with fatigue and weariness. You're in the midst of traveling through these mountains, suffering from a chronic health issue, suffering from loneliness, suffering from loss, uncertainty. You're unsure if you're going to make it out. Sometimes it feels like you're just going in circles and your direction is just aimless. For some of you brothers and sisters in this room, today perhaps you're lifting your eyes to the mountains and you're facing a new part of your journey where you're about to enter some trial, that you're about to take on a burden. You're facing uncertainty that brings dread and fear in your life. You're unsure if you're able to continue. To my brothers and sisters, I want to say this. God is our help. And I want to highlight how Christ himself ministers to us through today's psalm. Remember, when the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and hell, the maker of heaven and earth, Jesus promises his Holy Spirit to be with us. In John chapter 14, 16 through 17, Jesus promises us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Know today that the Spirit of God, as Jesus promised, is with you. Finally, when the psalmist says that the Lord will protect you from all harm, your life, your coming and going, both now and forever, remember the Lord Jesus Christ has already prepared a place for you and me at our destination, the New Jerusalem. But how do we know this? The Apostle Peter writes to us in his epistle that Jesus has secured for us, quote, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Quote, you're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in many trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:4 through 7. So, brothers and sisters, let me conclude. We too are on our way to Jerusalem. The dangers are many, the journey is long, but we can look above the mountains to God, who is our protector and help. He will protect us on our way home. So this psalm instructs us to take heart. God is your help and protector. Keep walking in that knowledge, brother and sister. May the Lord Jesus Christ protect you along your journey of faith in him. And may he keep you and protect you. May he bring you safely from danger so that we can arrive together in Zion, the city of our God, where we will be with Jesus forever. And we will arrive at our destination, and we will give praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our time in the Word. Lord, we are pilgrims. We need your help. We just pray this week that when we look at the mountains this week, whatever we're facing, whatever trial, whatever burden, God, help us remember that you are our help. You are the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, Lord, and you will protect us every step of the way through trial and tribulation. Lord, we praise you for your word. We thank you for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.